The thing is, if you say that you understand, people will more often move on than ask you to clarify, because why would they, you know, right?
I mean, yeah, that specifically my job involves not letting students do that. So I'm pretty good at when someone's like, yeah, I understand. I'll be like, do you? Can you explain it back to me? And they'll be like, no. And I was like, all right, you did not understand them. So you both did not understand and lied to me. So, but most people, I would agree. Yeah, they just go, great. I don't have to explain more and move on.
In most scenarios, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not when someone, you're specifically trying to get somebody to learn something, but when a normal conversation, you're trying to get someone to do something, you're like, yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Holly does that all the time where she asks if I understood something, and I'll say yes, and then even though she doesn't believe me, most of the time she'll move on.
That's pretty good. It's what makes a marriage work, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah.
It's cool. Real cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Oh man. Do we just go right into it? Was that even enough signature banter?
I do not think the signature, it's been a while, but the signature banter is nothing. It's nothing. It's a continuation of the conversation we were having before. I had to count down, so we both click start at the same time because that's our level of audio production. So
yeah, okay. All right.
I think it should just boom start.
Hey. And welcome to Heads Up with Jeff and Sean. I am Jeff.
I'm Sean. Actually, we should just from now on use the in media res concept where we'll record the whole conversation, but in the middle of that introduction is where the podcast should actually start when people press play. It should sound like they're approaching us at a party, and this is and to be fair, the conversations we have here are mostly conversations that you or I would have at a party with other people around.
For sure.
It should feel like they're walking up to us talking at a party.
Yeah, like you can kind of hear us. It gets clearer and clearer. And then once we notice them, they've approached, we say, hey. So they can't really even hear that other stuff.
I don't even think we start with, hey. I think we're halfway through the movie franchising talk. Because we've been at this party for a while.
Yeah.
And if they didn't come up earlier, you know, they didn't want to know.
That's true. Yeah. It's not like we're quiet about it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They know where it is.
Yeah. They've seen those people sitting there all night. They know what's up.
Before you list the things that we do in the podcast, something I just remembered that you do.
Yeah.
I know you want some more of that signature banter, because you were just talking about it. You didn't know if it was enough.
I specifically asked you if it was enough, and now you're bringing this in after I've said hey? Okay,
all right. Here's a little bit more. Okay. I got a thing in the mail. I got a piece of mail, I guess is what you would call it, from the...
A parcel?
Nope, just mail. From the car company of the car I own.
Okay.
And they were like, go to your dealership to get an upgrade for your engine so it can detect this new type of problem.
Oh.
And that's, I don't know, they said it's free.
Yeah.
But then the engine light might come on for a reason that I currently can't know about. Like, right now, the engine light won't come on for this problem. And that seems better to me.
Yeah. Like, if the car will still run.
I don't know if
that's... And the engine light won't come on.
That's not really what they said. They didn't say your car will keep running and just not tell you about this problem. They just said it will detect the problem.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like a lot. You know what I mean? Because there's always, you go there, there's always going to be something. They'll definitely, like, we could install it, but right now you got a flim form in your disc jam.
Oh, no, I don't mind telling those people to shut up, and I'm not paying them more for stuff. Like, I'm extremely confrontational when I'm going to a place to pay for things. You've been out to eat with me.
Oh, is it just when you're at a place you're going to pay for things? Is that the only time?
I mean, it's certainly worse then, because I don't feel any requirement to be polite, although I frequently am.
Mm-hmm. You're not rude to be rude.
Yeah, I'm just rude when they tell me, like, oh, man, you need an oil change. I'm like, I don't really. And they're like, oh, you sure? And then I go, don't mention it again. And then they don't. And then that solves the problem, okay?
Wow.
It's called conflict resolution, and I'm great at it.
Yeah, I'm not the best at that, but that's pretty good.
I've spent a lot of money on my car this year, actually, so I'm really, yeah. If you need any car guys yelled at, I'm your guy. okay, here's some more signature banter.
Did you bring it to Brooks?
Welcome to Car Talk. No, I did not.
Okay.
I brought it to the dealership for a thing because it was making a squeaking noise when the front driver's side was making a squeaking noise when it went over bumps.
Ooh.
Didn't know what that was. Checked it out myself. Kind of a car guy. I don't want to brag.
bump detection.
No, it wasn't. Maybe is that what they're upgrading my car for? I should read that mail more closely.
Yeah.
I bring it in, right? And it does it all the way down because, of course, the roads are terrible because the world is awful. And they claim they can't. First of all, I'm there for 4 hours.
Ooh.
And they claim that they can't replicate the noise.
Oh, okay. Were they driving over bumps?
Yeah. Hey, I feel like I described pretty well what was going on. I was like, yeah, that's the whole problem. It's not more than what it squeaks when it goes over bumps, and it's just the front driver's side tire. So, yeah. So I get in the car, I go home. Yeah, still doing it. It's not like it's like doing it as I drive out of their lot. So I think they just maybe wait around for 4 hours for fucking nothing.
And you know they weren't looking for it for 4 hours.
No, of course not. Of course not. It probably was not until I complained, like 2 hours in. I was like, hey, yeah, I've been here for like 2 hours because I was just in their thing using their Wi-Fi, eating their food, eating their free fruit, and drinking their water bottles while doing work, which was fun. You know, I was also at work then. I'm kind of a man about town. Stuff to do. And, Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the point of that was. I kind of feel like maybe I just wanted to complain about it, but.
You're a car guy. That's the whole point.
It also sounds like I'm really in touch with my emotions if I can identify that I just wanted the complete package here.
Wow.
So I guess that was more signature monologuing, signature banter, but.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, that might be partly on me, because I didn't want to, like, I'm, like, in my head, like, recently about jumping in and adding my own story to what I would think was to enhance a story or relate to somebody, but now I'm feeling like it's just to get something out, to have me talking, and I'm like, but I'm not like that, but I'm like, you are like that, and then, so, I've really been in my head lately, so.
I don't know.
So instead of relating to you and adding to your story, I just let you go. I just let it happen.
Yeah, you know? Whatever works, I guess.
When you call the dealership, do they just say, come in anytime?
No. They tried that at first, and I was like, no, I will make an appointment. And they're like, no, you can just, I was like, nope, I will have an appointment, and I will talk to someone when I get there, and I will re-explain the problem to them.
Yeah. They love that, come in anytime. It's because they're like, just come in anytime, and we'll deal with it when we feel like it.
Exactly, yeah, that's why, yeah. Because usually when I do, like, I'll have an appointment, I do it in the morning, and I'm there for maybe an hour tops. Right?
Get it in first thing.
Well, not quite first thing, right? No, you want to get there around 9:30, 10, where so, like, you know. I don't...
They've had their coffee.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, that I was going to say the mechanic's not hungover, but, you know...
This is similar. Kidding. Yeah,
I don't want to engage in class war. I'd get killed. Give them a little time to warm up on someone else's car, and then
make their mistakes on that car, and then
And now, oh man, today's not my day. I'm really going to do a good job on this next guy's car if I can find the problem.
I gotta shake off this hangover and see if I can figure out what's wrong with another car, make myself feel better, get this car done right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Did I tell you they still have Holly's car? It's been like 5 months.
Okay, so they sold it. So, weren't they getting in like a new engine?
Yeah.
Yeah, so have you called and done... Would you like me to do some conflict resolution on this? Because I've got spare time and I like yelling at people on the phone.
I think it's all right. I mean, like I said, they gave us a free rental, you know? But they said the rental had a recall as well, and so I brought that in. Like, you know, I went in anytime like they had suggested.
Yeah,
of course. And so after they found it in the system, and they said, like, oh, yeah, like 45 minutes. And then an hour and a half in, I had to go, like, is it done? And then they went around and looked and like, oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, the guy finished it and then put it back with the other rentals.
Yeah, because it's like a rental. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, well, I'll take it. I got it. And yeah. Then they said, fuck it, and just put the car back with the other rentals, which makes sense.
From his point of view, it definitely made sense.
From a certain point of view.
But yeah, I gotta say though, Joe. Yeah, I do see the difference in our approaches. Where you gave them twice as long, because when I make an appointment, yeah. I ask when I go in, like, how long is it gonna take?
Mm-hmm.
And the instant that minute hits, I am up at the desk. I'm like, hey, you said it would take an hour, and it's like an hour and a minute. So yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough when they quote under an hour. A lot of times I'll give them double. If they quoted like 3 hours and I was waiting there, I'd probably like. Maybe 2 hours, 45 minutes and be like, oh, is it still, we still on track?
Yeah.
And then when they say no, I would go home.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not doing it to be a dick. It's just like,
no, that's like, you quoted that. It's back. Let's see what's up.
Give me an accurate estimate of the time. I don't, if you tell me it's going to take 4 hours, I don't mind. Like, I'll find a thing to do. I just like, give me an accurate estimate.
Yeah, I'm looking for, like, the least amount of interaction or conflict.
I feel like they are, too, though, which is, they'll kind of like, yeah, you'll get your car when you get it back, you weak little bitch.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I go, thank you.
No, I go in attack mode, then, because that's, I guess, how I was raised.
Well, you know, I should get there. I should become more of a... fully formed person and get more
Jeff, I don't know,
heading into conflict head on.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd say you need to be more proactive. I wouldn't want to push you in that direction.
Yeah, I would lean too far into it, you know. I don't know where the lines are, so I would try too hard. Yeah, that's classic. That's a classic Jeff move.
Yeah. None of this is usable. This is just us complaining about car stuff, and we're not really a car talk podcast, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to do that.
Earlier Star Wars reference in the middle of a car talk.
Yeah, this is all going to be, like, really, really pitched down and, like, far out. So it's going to have a lot of other ambient noise. Really going to lean into that party vibe.
Yeah, I was going to say, put some party vibe around it. Yeah.
On this podcast, we typically do three things. Okay.
Can we do? I was just thinking of. Oh, get through them. Go ahead.
The third thing is in flux at the moment. The second thing is usually revolving around a movie or movies, and the first thing is animals.
Well, now it's time to get online through our internet service provider. It'll be cool.
Great. So before we get into animals, well, not into animals like that, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
What if we just killed the third thing? What if we just did two things?
But Sean, we do three things.
Yeah, but what if we didn't? Because check this out. We're already doing three things without the third thing, right? Because there's pre-podcast chit-chat.
Mm-hmm.
Right, or whatever you call it, I don't know what it is. Signature banter, excuse me. The signature banter.
Yeah,
and then there's the intro, whatever. That the intro obviously doesn't count as a segment. And then there's the other two first things you listed that I've blanked on already. But the last one, maybe we don't need.
We might not need it. We might not need it. I don't know if I'm ready to give up yet. But
all right,
It has crossed my mind.
I think we could lower it into a vat of acid if necessary.
Yeah. We come out of the movie thing too hot to end it there. You know what I mean?
I don't think we come out of the movie thing hot at all. I think it's dragged out. I think we really just sit with the movie thing. I think it's
the third segment is like that parachute that comes out of those really fast cars and the drag strips, you know? Kind of eases us into it so we don't just crash through a wall.
Right, isn't that why people watch that? You want to see the parachute not deploy, and then the car just boom. I don't know if they put a ramp at the end to make it fun, because the guy's going to die no matter what, but like...
just into those pits at those trampoline places, just full of big styrofoam chunks.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah.
TM, let's pitch that to them. I think. Sorry, a loud car just drove by. You might have picked that up.
Oh yeah, I could tell you the make and model of that car because I'm a car guy, just by the sound.
Jeff, you know what? Also, we should do is just that. We should be writing down all of our stupid mm-hmm. podcast ideas, and then mm-hmm. just each take like a month vacation, yeah. and just spend every day of that month recording like 3 episodes of every podcast. We can have a car talk podcast. Just really play the field, yeah. you know. Stretch our wings.
Yeah, really throw them all out there. See what sticks.
Just see what sticks. There's no wrong ideas.
I thought you were gonna say start a podcast store. We sell you our podcast ideas.
That's a good idea. We'll have a podcast about what this tour should be like.
Yeah.
Do we sell microphones? I don't know. Maybe.
Could.
We could.
Here we go.
Well, hey, do you know anything about the European eel? Anguilla?
Ooh, you're very European. Yeah. I don't.
I heard about these eels, and I wanted to learn more.
I'm sorry, I'm already interrupting. When it meets, not that I'm going to stop, I'm just going to acknowledge yeah. that I'm doing it and keep talking.
I'd like to insincerely apologize for this. No, anyway.
When it meets another eel, does it kiss it yeah. on its cheeks, one after the other, in the European fashion? Is that?
I bet it does.
Mm.
But one of the things that I heard about the eel, which made me want to learn more, was for the longest time, no scientist could find its sex organs.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know they were looking, too.
Yes. Yeah. They were baffled by it. So they made up stories. I mean, this is like way back in the day, making up stories about how these eels came about or all this shit.
Yeah. And, maybe they sprung fully grown from rocks.
Yeah, or like they flaked off their skin or something on a rock and things like that. But what it turns out, and this could not be true, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I hear things, you know, is that when they're ready to mate, they leave like the freshwater, go into the ocean. They dissolve like their stomach and like the things they use to process food and generate sex organs and then have sex and then die.
Whoa, that's pretty metal.
Yeah. And that's why these people pulling these eels out of the rivers and shit are like, there's no penis, there's no vagina.
Yeah.
What's going on here? They've never found them because they go out into the ocean, dissolve the rest of their insides, create sex organs, and get busy, you know?
That's the way to do it, though.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. You know, it's just superfluous until you need it, you know?
Yeah, but then you just live your life, whatever mm-hmm. you do, whatever. You don't have to sweat it, right?
Yeah.
And then when you feel like it's time, you go out to the ocean. You grow your bits.
Yeah.
You fertilize some eggs and then you die before mm-hmm. you raise the kids. That yeah. sounds perfect.
You can't even change your mind after because you've dissolved several important organs.
Yeah, you'll starve to death even if you try to go back. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
5 to 20 years in fresh or brackish water, I guess if it's Eastern Europe. Eyes grow larger. Their flanks become silver. Oh, cool. So they just they get real creepy.
Yeah, apparently they look so different in the different stages of their lives that they also were mistaken for different types of eels.
Yeah, classified as different.
Yeah.
Yeah, they even have a little graph here where they call it's a glass eel and then an mm-hmm. elver and then a yellow eel and then a silver eel.
And
then it dies and it goes back to spawning. Yeah, and then the yeah. next. It's, or I yeah, guess that yeah, might yeah. be. Oh, that's a picture of two eels having sex. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Is that how they do it? Slipping by. Yeah, I think it does. Yeah.
Is that how they do it?
Yeah, probably. Wow.
I wouldn't think that eels could do missionary, but that's exactly what that looks like.
It kind of is, yeah.
Wow, just they even have boring sex in the oceans.
Well, it's the first time they're doing it, and then they're gonna die. I don't think they really. Who's passing down the cool eel sex moves? That's true. Like,
yeah, they only have those genitals for so long. They don't have time to like think about and plan and
yeah. You're just in it, man.
Stories. Yeah, you're just
out in the ocean with whoever else came out at that time, and you're like, well, did you dissolve? Yeah. Whole stomach gone. But I got the bits if you want to go. Sure. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I created my bits. I mean,
yeah. That's why we're here.
For. Yeah. Dang.
Why did you pick such a cool animal? I don't know that we can fix this because sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
Even a broken clock's right twice a day. I think God kind of nailed it on this one.
That's true. I don't know. I know it's the year of the snake. It's a snake-like fish. I don't know. And then I heard that and I thought, wow. I've got to see more about this thing. That's all. You know? Wow. I was going to look up this other site for this eel things, but it wants me to sign up to continue reading. I'm not going to do that. Come on.
Yeah.
What is this? I guess maybe I pulled it up so that we, you know, we'd get to the point where we realize that the animals we fix don't need to have all their organs at once.
That's a great, you know what, well, since this is actually technically isn't a snake, even though it's the year of the snake, this is a great reminder. This is sort of an educational episode now. And I mean, we've covered, first of all, we cover some car stuff, some conflict resolution guidance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, sometimes it's okay to just melt your guts.
Yeah.
And put in a wiener or whatever.
Yeah. If you don't have something, just have your body make it and sacrifice something else. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's also, I think, a lesson on going all in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's no going back.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to have sex, it's going to be the last goddamn thing you do.
Yeah, go it on top, you know, or on bottom, depending on.
Yeah, based on that picture, it could be either.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it's great. I like how different they look through their life cycle, you know? And, yeah.
Just a great animal, though. Let me congratulate you on picking a great, because no offense, I feel like I haven't been shy about saying this animal bores me in the past.
Yeah.
But this is a good one.
Yeah. I mean, it looks, what do you do with it, you know?
It's a great question. I really don't know. I see there's a breeding project. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
The population's been falling. Okay. Well.
Ooh.
I wonder why.
Well, I think they only like mate in one part of the ocean. And like.
Well, we can broaden that. I mean, yeah. Just wherever, like, just have a couple spots, you know. If you like it a little cooler, you have it up, you know, those northern waters.
Mm-hmm.
You like it warmer, dip down to the Mediterranean, you know. It's an eel's world.
Yeah. Trying to think what else it has that it could dissolve and then create something else during a part of its life, you know what I mean?
Aren't there, and I don't think we've gotten a jellyfish.
Mm-mm.
But aren't there like quote unquote immortal jellyfish? They're not. That's not obviously really. But they like regenerate most of their organs. Like their life cycle is sort of like just an up and down wave rather than an abrupt stop like everyone else's, which is kind of show offy, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, don't they also say like lobsters basically live forever?
They would if they maybe not forever, but yeah, you get like 100-year-old lobsters and. I guess I think their shells eventually crush them. They grow too big for them, and like
As someone who worked at a seafood department in a market basket, I can tell you, I've seen a lot of lobsters not live forever, and I think it's maybe a truck ride packed into a crate with a bunch of other lobsters, and then sitting in a refrigerator in that crate for more than a day that really takes it out of you. Because they're just like, yep, well, and you're like, well, it's kind of alive. You know what I mean? It's not holding up its claws, but you can see some twitching.
Yeah.
It's
alive enough for right now. You're just going to take it at home and kill it, right?
Yeah.
So what do you care?
I guess in the wild, maybe they can live quite a while if they're not, you know, transported in a truck. I'm guessing. guess.
Probably. I mean, we'll do a jellyfish app. Ooh. We'll do a lobster app.
Yeah, I mean, the jellyfish is kind of not fair because I don't really have any like regular organs or a brain. You know what I mean? It's like saying like moss is immortal or like, you know, slime or something. You know.
I don't, because I think those are very different cases.
But you think, but you don't know. I could be absolutely right.
You could be, but I really don't think that you are. It doesn't really.
It doesn't have like a brain, right? It doesn't have like
I mean, it doesn't like a human brain, no. But it's got like a. I think it has like a rudimentary nervous system. It reacts.
Once we get out of the year of the snake, we're doing jellyfish.
Okay. Oh, I feel us pushing up against the wall, the restrictive snake skin that we've wrapped around ourselves.
If I find a tubular-like jellyfish, it's on.
Yeah, hey, I had completely forgotten it was the year of the snake, which is why I made no qualms about the European eel.
I mean, looks like a snake, all right? I guess it's not a reptile at all. But.
No, not at all. It's way out of bounds. But like I said, I think it's a good learning. We can just, if we like that an animal has two things, we can just make it different life stages. You know?
Yeah.
Eels have been important sources of food, including the jellied eels of East London.
That sounds disgusting.
And extremely specific. Yeah, this is the kind of food we eat in a specific district in one city on the planet.
Wow.
Yeah, jellied eels are a traditional English dish that originated in the 18th century, primarily in the East End of London. So we didn't even do it for that long.
But it was important at that time.
Yeah, apparently enough to have its own Wikipedia page, though I guess that's not a high.
Yeah. Those people would have died if not for jellying of eels.
That's probably true. Yeah, historically cheap, nutritious, and readily available food source for the people of London.
Like how nutritious? Like, you know.
Well, they don't have.
I'm basically eating junk.
They don't have like a nutritional label here that I can read. They don't like.
If you think I transitioned my diet to be heavy in European eel, do you think I'd be more healthy?
Well, think about what you know about the English, and then think about the poor English, and then you tell me if the image that pops to your mind is the same image that pops to mine of, like, Victorian-era peasants dying in the streets of preventable illnesses. Okay.
And they were eating jellied eel.
Well, no.
I thought that was, like, porridge and shit.
At the end of the Second World War, there were around 100 eel pie and mash houses in London.
Whoa.
In 1995, there were 87. So not a big dip.
Yeah. But they are critically endangered. So,
oh, the European eel is?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, I mean, maybe you can eat other eel in those pies now. They probably have to bring them in from somewhere else. Probably eating, like, moray eels and shit.
Well, they farm the European eel, so that's probably...
Okay.
If you scroll down a bit, there's a blue and green graph on the right-hand side of the page.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, the green graph's way up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I didn't, you know what? I never thought of that. I always knew, like, endangered animals, you'd have something in a zoo. So I knew you could, like, take them, but I didn't know, like, oh, yeah, we'll just farm them. Why aren't we, like, farming tigers for something then? Or, you know, the African elephant or...
So that's, I mean, essentially we do try to do that where... Right? Like, you remember when it was a big deal that pandas, you're trying to, like, the whole world was trying to get pandas to fuck, and they just wouldn't, which, I mean...
They wouldn't fuck.
Performance anxiety, you know? Let's be a little sympathetic. I don't want to offend pandas, not like have insulted the English or Eastern Europeans in this conversation already, or mechanics earlier. But, I think
the problem with pandas is that no other country can own a panda other than China. China leases them out, but no country can technically own them.
You think owning a panda would help it? You think they're, like, into BDSM, like...
No, that would help if you were trying to create a farming industry of pandas. But I would assume like a tiger and an elephant don't have the problem of, you know, getting their freak on like a panda does.
Well, the other issue is like eels, you can just like keep, mm-hmm. especially I guess the European eel, right? Like you can just inject it with hormones and then it loses its gut. Breeds and dies, then you can like I guess you could ship the corpse to be food then, and you've already got the next generation. But like mammals are very different, right? Like some have like breeding seasons.
Yeah,
there's all sorts of other, and they require a lot more food.
Yeah, so you're saying they're cheap to farm. That's why they're being successful at it.
I mean the less complex the organism, the easier I would argue it is to breed, probably.
Yeah, I mean, you have to get enough roughage in an elephant that seems excessive, but there's a lot of elephant after, you know what I mean? And I hear ivory is very popular. I don't know. I'm saying there might be a market for farms.
For ivory, definitely, yes.
Exactly. I bet it's worth finding that much fucking grass or hay, whatever they eat, a day.
Hay, like a horse.
I don't know.
You know what?
They're basically horses, right?
The American West would have been much better if cowboys rode elephants. And you could put that on the record.
Yeah. What was more impressive in The Lord of the Rings? When you know, the men came riding in on horses? Or when, you know, Sauron got those guys from the West and they were all riding elephants?
So, those were guys from the East. Those were called Oliphants by Sam. Right. They were also known to the men as the East. And the Southrons is really who had them as the Mumakil, Mumakil. Now, I only say this because Brett challenged us recently to like a nerd knowledge challenge.
Yeah.
So I'm just showing off a little bit.
Okay. But I just want you to know that ever since the Middle Earth became like an orb, if you traveled west enough, you would eventually get to those people as well. Just.
Yeah, but that doesn't make them men of the West. That really, you know, so I don't know if it's, I'll admit it, I don't know if it's Gandalf or Glorfindel who tells the hobbits that I want to say, no, I don't know if it's Gandalf or Glorfindel. Who tells the hobbits about Aragorn and the Dúnedain Rangers and how they are sort of the men of the West, the last true descendants from the sunken island of Numenor. We don't have to. I told you this would be the whole podcast if we started talking about. Do you want me to spit off about Star Trek like engine mechanics again?
I kind of do.
Because that was awesome, but I understand that in mixed company. Normal people experience that as extreme embarrassment on my behalf. I don't care. I love it, but...
Yeah.
I know some of your dipshit friends probably listen to this shitty piece of shit podcast, and I also don't care about their feelings, but, you know, I don't want you embarrassed by proxy of me any more than you usually are.
As long as they're buying the merch, you know what I mean? That's...
All right, European eels, though.
Yeah.
Are we fixing them?
We can fix them a little bit. I would say since they are European, when they greet each other, they should kiss each other on both sides of the cheeks.
So how about this? And that'll come up later in what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
Instead of them dying after they have sex, they like revert. They go backwards through. They become glass eels or whatever, or they cocoon themselves in eggs.
Yeah,
because like they also fertilize eggs and leave those somewhere, but then they also kind of cocoon themselves and come back out as the leptocephalus that turns into the glass eel.
Yeah, because I mean, if they're just like rearranging their whole insides and creating new things, why not just go backwards through that whole cycle?
Right. That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, they get rid of their stomachs for sex organs, and then the sex organs go away as part of a hibernation thing, where they cocoon themselves. They reemerge as the leptocephalus, the little microorganism or whatever. And they perpetuate that way. So, what happens is they could do this forever if they wanted to. Many of them don't, of course. You get bored of being an eel, I imagine.
So you'd have to.
in the mating, when they go out to sea to mate, if another eel goes to kiss you on both cheeks, that's the I would like to die after we have sex kiss.
Wow. Okay.
That's how the eels determine, oh, okay, are we going to have sex and then revert? No, we're not? Okay. Mm. And then I think maybe it takes two eels. You have to, like, the other, one eel has to stop the other eel, right, from, like, doing the cocooning hormones or whatever.
Oh, okay, okay.
So they got to meet an eel that does the European kiss, and then they die together. And it's sweet. That's sweet.
Yeah, that is sweet.
Pixar could make a movie about that.
Yeah. They spend several life cycles just looking for another eel that doesn't want to live anymore.
Yeah, and then they're like, well, finally, now we're dead.
Wow. I think that's really nice. That's really nice.
Well, I'm quite taken with the European eel, and it's have sex once and then die without raising your kids. It's very funny. It's very funny.
I would say, like, the last part of its tail should change, like, color to let you know how close it is to, destroying its insides and creating genitals. You know what I mean? To go from, like, green to blue to black. And then when it's black, you know, that's when it's going to create its genitals, just so that scientists know, you know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. You want to kind of, like, give it a little flag.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that makes sense.
Careful with that one. It's got a full grown dick, you know? Or yeah, you can pick this one up. This definitely doesn't have a dick anywhere, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, I think it would also help the other eels, right? So that maybe they could also, they could indicate what genitals they're growing. So the other eels could be like, I'm actually a gay eel, so I see that eel over there. It didn't grow a dick, so.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty considerate, too.
Yeah, maybe a marking along their body for how many times they've cocooned and come back.
Yeah, I think tally marks would be cool, but that's probably not going to work for the eels.
All right. Just a thought.
No, I agree that they should have marks. I just, you know, I want them to have tally marks, but I don't think that's a good idea. It's just another funny idea.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, but I think that's all they need, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're basically there.
What a cool eel. Yeah. But other eels are stupid compared to them. We'll have to look at other eels sometime. Not this year, but...
Yeah.
But don't worry, that's only like one more episode, so...
I'm just saying, what the first sentence of Wikipedia says, the European eel is a species of eel, a snake-like fish. Okay, so it's just...
Yeah,
you know, it fits, all right? It fits.
I mean, but snake-like doesn't, like... Yeah, I get into a sleeping bag and I'm snake-like. That doesn't mean I'm a snake.
I bet you are, you saucy little minx.
No, I don't think that was appropriate. And I will be contacting the podcast's HR, so...
What if you just called Holly and told her?
I'll get Brett to do it. That's what I was doing on Sunday when he was texting you guys. I was trying to get him. I don't know if he did or not. I was trying to get him. He asked what Holly's expertise was.
Oh, yeah.
He did. Nerd expertise. Yeah, yeah. And she basically deflected to you. And I was like, oh, it sounds like Holly's expertise is on Jeff's failings. And he got a good laugh out of that.
He didn't text that, but later at the family reunion, he told her in person.
Okay, I see. He wanted to see her reaction. Even better.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Sean, do you remember the movie Bridesmaids?
Oh.
Bridesmaids. Is it Bridesmaids?
It's Bridesmaids, I think, but...
Bridesmaids.
Let me improve it right now, and Melissa McCarthy's gone from any sequels. She was fine in the movie.
I was going to suggest that the next movie be her funeral.
Yes! Oh, yes! Yes, Jeff, thank you! You are a true friend.
Yeah, and to please the network or the studio, we would bring in Awkwafina.
Perfect.
Play that sort of role.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Whatever. We'll bring in anyone else. Fine.
Yeah. because you know
she was fine in the movie, but I don't know why she keeps getting roles.
Since then, it's been it was like it went from like you know like a B plus to an F.
She's the Rob Schneider of the 20 teens.
Yeah. But that's fun though. If we started with a funeral, that you know you had a wedding, a funeral, then you could just be Bridesmaids Presents, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Funeral, or you know, or what are the people that carry the casket called? Pallbearers.
Pallbearers.
Yeah. So it could be like Bridesmaids Presents Pallbearers.
And that's how you get the gang back together. We could just do the same movie again, but at a funeral instead of
Right.
They have to fly her corpse somewhere.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe I don't know. It probably falls out of the casket and farts. That's like that's the level of comedy she's been involved in lately, so we want to pay homage to that.
Was it casket dropper? I think did you see season 2 of I Think You Should Leave?
Yeah, yeah, where the bodies kept dropping out falling out of the caskets. Yeah. It's very funny. It's a great sketch comedy. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Yeah.
And you want to talk about a funny female comedian? The woman in that who was in the sketch where he was a high school teacher, and she was in the sketches about she rents tables. That woman is so fucking funny and on point in every sketch she's in, and she was not in enough of season 2. And I don't know who the fuck her. I don't know. I've never seen her anything else. I don't know what. I don't know who the fuck she is. She's amazing.
That's Patty Harrison.
She should go. She should be in a movie where she goes to college with her daughter. That should be. It should have been her. That's. Are you shocked? Here's the thing, Jeff. I don't have a lot of pop culture knowledge because I'm largely disconnected. Because you saw my text about Star Trek engines and you heard me talk about Lord of the Rings. Who else knows who Glorfindel is? Who else do you know who even has said that word in 20 years? Okay.
Listeners, reach out if you know who Glorfindel is without Googling it and explain it to me.
They're going to look it up. Your piece of shit friends are going to fucking look it up. I don't trust them. Listen, but the knowledge I do have comes from the one true part of me, which is white hot rage that a thing has been done incorrectly. And I feel that way about anything Melissa McCarthy does because I cannot stand her. Fucking. Anyway, I saw the movie where she went back to college in theaters with a friend because the friend didn't have anyone else to go with her.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see that movie, but I remember you saying it was bad.
Yeah, yeah. In theaters, Jeff. I had to sit and I had to sit and watch it happen to myself.
It just happened to me.
It was awful. Okay. Anyway,
the theater
didn't
stop the movie. Okay. So maybe maybe Patty Harrison works at the funeral home.
Yeah.
That way we can get her in.
It will be assumed that she will be in any movie we ever make that is a comedy. Extremely good.
But the rest of the cast, still solid to this day. I mean, there's...
For Bridesmaids or
movie.
Oh, okay. I thought you for a second you were talking about the movie where she went to college with her daughter.
No, everyone else there, amazing. Okay. No. You know, Kristen Wiig, Maya Rudolph, Rose Byrne, Ellie Kemper, right?
Oh yeah, Ellie Kemper is fantastic as well.
Wendy McLennan Coven.
No idea. Who's the bald English guy?
Matt Lucas.
All right, doesn't recognize it, but he's been in some good stuff.
Yeah, we can do Bridesmaids Presents Roommates, where Rebel Wilson and that Matt Lucas guy find another roommate.
And you know what? This is actually pretty good for the Bridesmaids Presents label of just like Bridesmaids Presents a thing, like just like pallbearers, roommates, like it's just a single thing. Like that fits. I think that's pretty good.
And you pull in all these characters. You know, let's say in another one, Rose Byrne's character, you know, she was like the really well off friend.
I think so.
That Kristen Wiig was insecure about because she didn't have any money. Maybe it goes the other way around. Like she loses a lot of money and then she's got to rely on Kristen Wiig.
Okay.
And she gets into this world of not having any money.
All right, that's, I mean...
Hilarity ensues from there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, poor people are funny, I guess.
The flight of the poor. Hilarious.
I've always liked to watch people struggle after losing things.
It's just, you know, a fish out of water. Just like, what's that Mel Brooks movie? Where Jeff,
you know what? I don't know, because I think he's fantastic. I think he's been dead. Great in everything. Anytime I see him on TV, I go, yeah, great. Now I don't know his work, though, is the issue.
I'm sorry. I don't remember the name of the movie, but he's trying to buy a big plot of land in, like, this urban area to build something, and this other wealthy person buys it up, and then he's like, listen, I'll live there, no money, for a week, and then you gotta give it to me. And he goes there, and it's a movie. I swear, I don't know the name of it.
That's the plot. If I live on the land you just purchased for free for a week, it's mine now? What?
Yeah, but he can't use any of his resources, you know?
So he brings a jar of peanut butter and a couple gallons of water. You can live for a week on, like, what? Like, what's, I don't understand.
Oh my God. Life stinks, I think.
Yeah, I don't know it.
Yeah, life stinks. Yeah, filthy rich businessman bets a corporate rival that he can live on the streets of L.A. without the comforts of home or money, which proves to be tougher than he thought. But he falls in love with a homeless woman or something. And
oh my God, Melissa McCarthy's going to be in Thor: Love and Thunder
as corpse number three,
as actor Hela.
What?
I'm on the same website you are.
No. You remember? Do you remember Ragnarok at all?
Well, Melissa McCarthy wasn't in it, so not much. But was very good.
They had Matt Damon and like Chris Hemsworth's brother.
Yeah,
doing like a shitty play.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. It'll probably just be like that. So she'll probably be in it for like 3 minutes overacting on purpose, and then.
This is 3 minutes, like 2 minutes,
and moving on.
Disney is right now playing the most dangerous game. I'm just saying.
It's true. But that means that's her canon in the MCU, which means she can't do anything else in the MCU, like, you know.
I could give a shit about the MCU. I don't really, what, she gonna star as a superhero? Like, I just won't watch the movie, Jeff. That's easy. That's
true. I mean, John Hamm was great in this movie. Is there a sequel for him for Bridesmaids Presents?
I mean, we could just do, like, Bridesmaids Presents Groomsmen, and then just do the same movie with a bunch of white guys. There's not enough white male representation in Hollywood movies these days, I think.
Well, he's supposed to be like this rich douchebag, so maybe he...
loses everything. Yeah. And we just see how hard everything. That is for
him. And how it is for... No. Maybe he does get married, right? And and he doesn't have a lot of actual friends because he's been a douchebag his whole life, and maybe his wife's the wife saying like some of his cool friends can't be part of the wedding or whatever. He's got to ask Kristen Wiig, who's like known him some of the longest, if she'll be his best man.
I thought you were gonna do the Ed Helms movie with the Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, the Hangover.
Yeah. I thought that's what you're gonna do.
Yeah,
because it sounded a lot like it in the beginning, right? Like,
yeah, yeah, like not developing female characters and forcing,
it looked bad. Yeah, that's. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, yeah, like the wife didn't want the people to be part of the wedding or bachelor party or whatever. Yeah, no, I think that's good too. Yeah, yes, yeah, Kristen Wiig. Kristen Wiig can look right in the camera. Not again.
Start talking about how she's a one woman wolf pack, you know.
That, yeah, sure. Let's make it a mashup.
But me, and then okay, what about this? Bridesmaids presents divorce here proceedings, and Maya Rudolph's marriage from the first movie, she ends up getting a divorce, and hilarity ensues there.
And this can be the sequel to where the rich woman has lost everything, so yeah. Maya Rudolph can't rely on her money, and Kristen Wiig has to prove herself by, you know, looking up a bunch of dirt on the husband.
Yeah, well, she decided to go back to law school after her bakery closed again because of the pandemic.
Mm.
So she needs to rely on Kristen Wiig's legal advice.
Yeah.
As a lawyer.
I've been taking online law classes.
Yeah.
Everybody's welcome for that flawless Kristen Wiig impersonation.
Yeah. And she does her own, like, My Cousin Vinny style luring.
I was just going to say My Cousin Vinny. A movie I only remembered because I think we've talked about it previously on this podcast.
Yeah. So.
That'll be good. Actually, The Divorce, we can make it a trilogy. It's Pallbearers. And then I guess, what, Dirt Poor?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Presents living below our means. I don't know.
Yeah, like Poverty. Bridesmaids presents Poverty Story.
Yeah.
So I forgot what the idea I had was, but
that was a trilogy of divorces?
The Divorce wraps something up from Pallbearers.
And
I don't remember what it was. That's how fast ideas come in and out, you know? It's it's always
Rose Byrne has lost all her money. Maya Rudolph's getting a divorce. Maybe they gotta go work at the funeral home after.
No, that's not it. No, it'll come back to me later. Okay. When we're done recording the podcast, and I go, "Oh, that's what it was." And then I'll forget it 2 seconds later. So,
thank goodness, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Memory is a curse.
Maybe. I mean, Ellie Kemper. I mean, you know, the whole movie. She could handle a whole movie, right? Has she yet, though? I don't think she has, but, you know, she's in the movie, in Bridesmaid, she's married to, like, a really repressed guy. Like, he'll only have sex in bed at night with the lights off after they've both showered.
Well.
That's, like, the one story she tells about him.
That's the objectively best way to do it, but let's move on. She should be grateful, but okay. I guess
it's the only man she's ever been with.
Oh yeah, that's a mistake.
Yeah. And so, you know, maybe her and Wendy McLennan Covey. She's in Reno 911. She's the blonde lady there. She's if you remember that at all.
Yes. Oh, she was also in The Office. As the concierge when they...
Yeah.
Just please use NBC sitcoms as a reference point. It's that or sci-fi or fantasy movies. I'm sorry. I feel like you should know that. I shouldn't have to spell that out for you,
Jeff. She's never been on the bridge of any Enterprise.
That helps narrow it down. Okay. Of the actresses that I can remember, that actually helps narrow it down, yes. Well, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember what else happened in Bridesmaids. It was just like there was tension around. She didn't have a lot of money to do all of the expensive things. Yeah.
Yeah, her life was kind of falling apart. She was sleeping with a guy that was bad for her. She got her taillight was out, so the nice cop guy, something. She was upset about her business falling apart because of the recession, and then... jealous that her friend was closer with somebody else, and then it all worked out, and they got married, and they sang that Wilson Phillips song at the end.
Now Wilson Phillips, is the status on his presence on the bridge? Is he ever? What's his rank? Lieutenant commander or
high commander?
Oh boy!
Yeah, yeah. No, it's,
so he's a Klingon. He's part of the Klingon High Command.
Yeah. I mean, you hear that song. I think it's Hold On. I think you'll like it, you know?
All right. I'll open up YouTube and type in Hold On and listen to the first one that comes up.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying, if this was a male cast, they would have The Hangovered it, and there would have been at least two or three more movies.
Just gonna go ahead and drop the first video that came up on my YouTube feed when I typed in "Hold On" to YouTube, and it is a Justin Bieber.
But he looks like he's in a spacesuit, so he might be on the Enterprise.
It's a motorcycle. I watched the first few seconds we were talking. Unrelated. You might have to repeat the thing you just said.
okay.
I was looking up a YouTube video. Sorry.
If I remembered what it was, I'd repeat it.
Okay. Awesome. Emails are starting. Uh-oh.
No, but I was saying, like, if this had been an all male cast, they would have hangovered this thing. They made enough money, you know. But they just let it go.
Yeah,
just let it go. Let it stand on its own, and never went back to it. It's very sad. Very sad. I would have loved to have, you know, two or three movies and then hate the entire franchise. But I just would have loved to see that funeral, you know.
I don't, but I'm sorry.
All right, okay. How about this? Bridesmaids Presents? Maybe Rose Byrne lost all her money because her husband was investing in genetic research.
No, okay. Jeff, please. You got to take a more roundabout route these days. People see that coming too far off. He was investing in NFTs.
You're right.
But the company producing the NFTs is based on an island. Okay, and they're trying to create digital intelligences.
Mm. Oh, my God.
The best they've got so far is just burning electricity for no reason. Well, they call it NFTs, but...
Yeah. Well, it's non-fungible, for sure. Is it a token?
Oh, Chris O'Dowd was in Bridesmaids. He was the cop. Yeah, okay.
He was a nice cop, yeah.
I saw him in that the IT crowd.
Yeah. He's pretty good in that.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he hasn't done anything lately, has he?
I don't know. I don't keep up with his... I don't hate him, so I don't keep up with his career.
Yeah. Never saw anything. Haven't seen anything with him in a little while.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'm sure he's doing great. I'm sure he's doing great. You know?
Yeah, he's got Bridesmaids money, so.
Yeah. He and John Hamm were probably the top paid actors in that movie.
Well, they were the two men in it. I get it. I got what you were putting down. Boy, I really don't see him on this cast list. Am I just not seeing his name?
I don't know. I usually use IMDb on my phone. I'm on the internet, and let me tell you,
it's bad.
Their interface gets worse every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit, he's way far down.
Yeah, no, I found him.
He's under people listed as Helen's husband, Lillian's mom, and Dougie.
Yeah. Tim Heidecker played Dougie.
Yeah.
He's a guy, right? I know him from something.
Tim and Eric and
I don't watch Tim and Eric. I have a good sense of humor, Jeff. I don't watch Tim and Eric. Like I'm some fucking stoner.
I would say that's where a lot of people know him from, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of piece of shit stoners.
Was he on Star Trek? Is that why you know his name?
Who?
Tim Heidecker.
Oh no, I've probably just seen him in like related to a bunch of comedy stuff.
Yeah, he's definitely he's been in both seasons of I Think You Should Leave.
That's
he played the guy playing celebrity that was really into jazz,
and then
he played the guy on a date at that space themed restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good when other people write the episodes. Yeah. 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 You know, just his body of work where he's in control. I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't. It's a little much.
A little much of fucking nothing. Fucking anti-comedy. All right, I don't want to talk about how much I hate anti-comedy.
Okay. All right.
I just spent a long time thinking about how much I hate Melissa McCarthy. I still have her IMDb page open just to see what other things she's done that she's not suited for. I'm sorry, go on.
That's all right. Last time I asked you about ghosts and we talked about that. What's your opinion on alien abductions?
They're wicked funny. I love them. They're so funny.
Yeah, there's not that many reports. Maybe I'm just not on the right Reddit threads. I'm sure maybe
there's definitely a lot of reports. You are not on the right threads. I'll hook you up, man. I just think it's funny because obviously it's just probably crazy weirdos, but there's always that slim chance that it's not. And the experiences they describe just sound like assholes being like, all right, we took you up. We're going to do some operations. They're not going to affect you at all. We might put a little piece of metal in you that'll set off metal detectors, and then we're going to plop you right back down. And you're going to have a big empty space in your life, and the rest of your life is going to revolve around being abducted tonight, and we're gone forever. Bye. And that is the funniest thing a super intelligent alien species could be doing. That's so good. That's, oh my God.
Yeah. Let's see what happens if we stick something in your butthole. Let's see. Interesting. Nice.
The butt stuff's not even the funniest. Like, that stuff's just mean. It's just the, like, yeah, you'll have a hazy recollection of a weird looking dude poking you with needles and stuff, and it's going to be cold. We keep this room cold. And again, we're going to do this to, like, a couple thousand people in the country you live in.
Yeah.
But no one will believe you. And you're going to have to band together and hold, like, rallies and stuff. And you're going to have to, like, there's going to be some real wackos. You're going to convince themselves we did this to them, even though we didn't. It's going to be so good.
Is it still always the Grays? Like, the classic gray alien?
Jeff, no. You need to spend a lot more time on these Reddit threads.
Wow, I thought this was, like, a phenomenon that died out.
No.
Because
there's different aliens
from Alpha. And cameras.
No. No, there's different aliens from Sirius, from Alpha Centauri. There's metadimensional aliens. Oh my God.
I know Alpha Centauri is like a Star Trek thing, right?
We're not talking about Star Trek right now, okay? Although there was a pretty good episode of The Next Generation where this was happening. People were missing time. Mm-hmm. Someone, I think, I don't know if it was Riker or Worf, they were literally abducted by aliens from another dimension, and they surgically removed his arm and reattached it. He was having, like, crazy dreams and stuff.
Yeah.
This relates to why Star Trek is so great, because it's such a perfect model for how to treat people. Because when he starts talking about, I'm having these crazy dreams and feelings, no one on the command staff calls him crazy.
Okay.
Everyone is just like, hey, we're concerned. Like, we're going to get to the bottom of this. Whether it's you're having a mental breakdown or this is really happening, like, we're going to do a series of tests and we will believe you and do what we can.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really shaped my views as a young man. It's such a great, really great show. I think everybody should watch Star Trek, and I would like to talk about Star Trek more, and I think it's got a lot to teach us still. Not the New Trek. New Trek is terrible. Don't watch New Trek. Original series through Voyager and the movies, but then you're done.
Okay.
Sorry. What were we talking about?
Does that include Deep Space Nine?
Yes, I like Deep Space Nine. Okay. I think Kyle thinks it's better than other Star Treks. It's not. It's very different, but still good.
I've only seen part of the original series and Next Generation. I haven't seen it at all. Jeff. I could try to get into it. I could give it a go. You know, it seems like a unsurmountable task at this point. You know, because
There's so much of it. But I mean, see, if we were to do a Star Trek podcast where we would just watch them all in order, and then after each episode we did a podcast episode about it, then you would have, first of all, a great excuse. It would take a lot of time. It would take a lot of time, but you wouldn't have to watch the whole show all the way through. You'd just be like, oh, we're going to record an episode. I'll watch. I'll spend an hour watching the original series.
Okay. Because there's only there's three seasons of the original series, right? It's not that many.
Yep. It's not that many. So,
all right.
It's over way too soon. But there's the movies. I mean, we could go. There's a lot of ways we could do it. We could do it chronological order because Next Gen and Deep Space Nine were on at the same time. Yeah. There's like overlap with Voyager as well. So we could do those in order. Okay. I'll track down the star dates. Someone's made a list.
Send me the list. And we'll do it. I mean, what else are we going to do? You know what I mean?
What else? I see. I don't want to pressure you into it because you're coming into it new.
I'll do it.
All right.
All right. Get ready for a Star Trek segment.
I was going to say that's going to have to go ahead and replace this podcast in part or in whole because I'm not doing two podcasts.
No. We could do the middle segment about it.
If I was going to do two podcasts, yeah. I would do one with Melissa McCarthy called Failing Upwards.
She explains her career to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So do you believe...
Close the IMDb page. Okay, go ahead.
Do you believe that some people and their stories of alien abduction are true?
Jeff, you know what? I want to believe. You get it, the poster? Do you remember the poster from the 90s? Yeah, oh you've seen X-Files. I thought that would land. I guess my real answer is I don't really care if it's true or not.
Yeah.
It's so funny either way. It's so good. So good.
Yeah. Would you rather it be extraterrestrial or interdimensional?
The third segment should just be would you rather. I mean, realistically, I don't think, unless they're making faster than light starships.
Yeah.
It would have to be some sort of extra dimensional. Yeah, it'd have to be like extra dimensional travel of some sort, which doesn't mean they couldn't still be living in our universe, Jeffrey. Yeah. Yeah, that's just their method of travel. Or they could be living in a different universe entirely.
It's true.
Who knows?
It would make more sense since they're just like looking at us and like putting us back that they would be future humans trying to figure out or fix something in the future. Dealing with the human body or taking something from that, because otherwise, if you're an advanced alien species, you come all that way. Why just poke them around? Why just pull some things and then put them back? Just get rid of them after. You know what I mean?
But sure. But imagine this, right? You are you're like a tier 5 civilization, right? You like
okay,
like you can you have the technology basically to build a Dyson sphere. You know what a Dyson sphere is?
I know what a Dyson vacuum does.
Okay. Well, so different thing. So okay. The Dyson sphere is you build essentially a big sphere around your sun so you can utilize 100% of its energy output.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You completely like,
you're capturing all the energy from
all of the energy to do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
Your civilization that has mastered faster than light travel, you know, maybe maybe you can live forever. Maybe you're transferring your consciousness between robots, whatever, right? You've got incredible borderline godlike power.
Yeah.
And then you come to Monkey Planet and you've got fucking time to kill. Who knows how old your civilization is? Who knows how old you as an individual are?
You've got maturity level. Who knows?
Who knows what, because once what, like, if from a childhood, all of your basic needs are met, but then there's like no push to do new things. Like you might as a civilization stagnate. Your intellectual level might peak at a certain point.
Yeah. Cause it's all done. There's no more.
You might lack the curiosity to keep progressing because you don't think there's anything. So, so you find Monkey Planet and there's a bunch of these monkeys and they're, by your point of view, they're borderline not intelligent.
Yeah.
Right? They're poisoning their planet. They shoot radio waves out into space for no reason, right? Just so that they can put on Melissa McCarthy comedies.
They barely make it off-world.
They've been to two extra planet, like, they've been to the moon and Mars. And Mars, they don't even have people on. They put a robot there. It's embarrassing. So why not mess with them? Why not have a little fun? Why not have a little fun when you're in the neighborhood?
Yeah, what else is there to do?
Yeah. You do this for a while, you see what happens, you see what comes of it. Maybe you fly, you zoom your spaceship by some Air Force planes. Hey, these guys are credible. Well, their government's going to bury all of the reports for 50 years until these guys are almost dead anyway. So funny. That's so good. You're pranking, like, entire governments. You're starting grassroots movements that no one can control. And those are the same wackos who won't get fucking vaccines for free to protect them from global pandemics. It's so funny. Like, that part's not obviously funny. We're in the middle of it. But if you if you're taking the perspective of a, like a borderline godlike alien, that's so good. That's so good.
Yeah, we're not worth the first contact.
No.
Yeah. So no. It's like just fuck around and leave.
Why not? Yeah. What are we gonna do to them?
Yeah,
Mr. President, I need the codes to shoot the nukes at it. Like, oh, nuclear energy. We didn't discover that a billion years ago. Cute. It's so funny.
But don't you think if it was in a civilization that advanced, that they'd want to share it, or they'd want to push other civilizations along, or is it not worth it?
Jeff, you live in the United States of America.
Yeah.
In the past, we've been among the first world of the first world nations. Did we share it, or did we build dozens of military camps all around the world for, like, our embassies to sit so that we can keep an eye on other nations? Like, we're not sharing the wealth. Why would other people?
I was heard we were nation building, so.
Well, of course. Well, but so then these aliens bought into that propaganda too.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, there's yeah. so many ways for these aliens to just be like, no, we're just fucking around, or, well, we actually just don't care about you. Share what we have? No, thank you.
Yeah. So if there was, like, a resource on Earth that they needed, they would just take it. They wouldn't need to make first contact, they would just take it.
Yeah.
But obviously there's not.
No. There is no resource on Earth other than humans that they can't find somewhere else easier in the universe.
Mm.
Especially if it's faster than light travel. They can just go wherever and get it. And if they're this advanced, if they want to learn about our culture, they just absorb it from our media. They can read our research articles just as well as we can. Do they need to talk with us? No, probably not.
No. So what else is there to do with us then just pick us up randomly and
just play the greatest, longest prank anyone has ever... A civilization-level prank.
Yeah. If they're traveling faster than light, I mean, that's... Are they able to go to different parts of our time? The same ship? Like, back in time and forward in time?
They could, maybe. I don't know.
Hmm. Because maybe it's just been one ship, and it was like for them, it was like a month long bender.
Yeah. Well, they might not even need to go back in time. They could have showed up.
Yeah.
Here 40,000 years ago, and they've just been fucking around with life on the planet because it's funny. imagine this, Jeff. You're the first human ancestor, right? Mm-hmm. You just climbed down out of your tree. You're about to stand up on the plains. Mm-hmm. And then a UFO buzzes you, and you get scared, and you climb back up in. You're back in the trees. Fuck the planes. That's so funny. That's so good.
Okay.
It could be another 100 years before another monkey feels brave enough to walk free on the planes, just because you buzzed him. Oh, man. Okay. I'd love to be one of those aliens. That would be the best.
Have you ever talked to somebody who's claimed to have been abducted by aliens?
No. I've seen interviews.
Yeah.
Most of them come off like wackos because they always talk about how, like, I know no one's going to believe me.
Yeah.
They're out there. I know they're out there.
Yeah. The last one I saw was like a mid-90s one. That's why that's when I stopped following it, I guess.
It's... The movement has continued. There's definitely...
I thought, you know, the cell phone camera and, like, the internet, there were so many other conspiracies for people like that to get tied into, easier to disprove, and then people just moved on. But no, they're out there still getting...
You know what, Jeff? The truth is out there is what it is. Wasn't there like a couple, 2 or 3 years ago, there was an Israeli defense minister who had retired who was like, oh yeah, the nations of the world are in negotiations to join a galactic compact of aliens. Yeah, that was like on Twitter, dude. Well, I'm assuming my Twitter feed is somewhat different than yours, but
apparently. Yeah,
there's like all kinds of people like, yeah, still claiming this is going on. And it's the issue is it's tied in with Brett's favorite topic, the QAnon bullshit.
Ah.
Where they're like, yeah, oh, the wealthy are in on it. The wealthy are turning, they're becoming aliens and they want to drink our children's blood under pizza shops for some reason. Like, it. Go ahead.
Because there's not other establishments that other people can't get into,
yeah,
that rich people can get into that they'd probably rather be at.
Yeah.
They have to do it in a basement of a pizza shop.
Yeah, that's the best place for it. A high traffic area, yeah.
I love how some people can't even imagine to think like the rich. Well, if I was going to set up shop and just drink children's blood, I guess I'd have to do it underneath the pizza shop.
Yeah, well... Did you know, I saw this, I think today, there's something like 32 million adult Americans who are illiterate.
32 million?
Yeah.
Like
it's like 10% of the total population.
Wow.
Which I think, it's like 15% of all adults in the United States are illiterate.
When they're classifying illiterate, though, are they like, can't read or write at all, or is it a certain level they haven't achieved?
I think it's like a below an eighth grade reading level, like a lot of people after middle school.
Yeah,
they did not go to high school, but there, okay. it's like I think there's like a reading comprehension element, but
yeah, okay, so. That I've, because when I think illiterate, you're like, well, 10% of the population can't read or write, you're like, whoa.
Yeah,
but if you're like, yeah, half of them are have trouble comprehending things, I'm like, yep, that makes more sense to me.
Yep, yep.
But it's still an alarming number.
Extremely, so.
But yeah, I mean, wow.
It makes it less shocking that the alien conspiracy stuff descends into, like, schizophrenic level.
Yeah.
Like, well, delusions really quickly.
Yeah, if we would take care of the mental health in this country, then we really could get to the bottom of a lot more things.
Mm-hmm. You don't say.
Like alien abductions and
like like the important stuff that we care about. Like alien abductions. Is QAnon true or not? We don't know.
Yeah. If we really took care of the people, it would clear the way for a lot. And I mean, that's I. You know what? I love social programs. I don't want this to be a soapbox, but I love it. I love them.
Jeff and his socialism.
Yeah, I don't think that my ability to get medical care without being bankrupted should be tied to whether or not I have a job and whether or not they decided to give me good or bad health insurance. Mm. When I'm abducted by an alien and I have to get that piece of metal out, I don't want it to be reliant on how good my job is to be able to get that out at a reasonable cost. You know what I mean?
Well, sure, hey, I agree. But, you know, if you leave it in the government's hands, you know, the government is all controlled by aliens now, and they want to drink children's blood under pizza shops. So,
yeah,
it's kind of a double-edged sword.
Well, aren't the lizard people aliens, right?
There's some debate about that.
Really?
So there's definitely lizard people that are what we would know of as aliens, but the lizard people that, like, live under the mesas in the American Southwest, like, they've been here for a while, so they, like, live on planet.
And if they've been here since before us, even if they're from somewhere else, wouldn't they be the more native population?
That's the crux of the argument, Jeff. Mm. It's troubling that you got that so fast. Yeah.
Troubling. You're setting off a lot of things, a lot of synapses in my brain right now, Sean. And why there's so many references to reptiles and things, you know, like modern medicine and shit.
Sure, yeah, it's a dangerous time.
Want the planet to get warmer, Sean? Reptiles.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. This is another. Yep. There's fringe folks on both sides. We need to stop global warming for humans to live there. No, it's to kill off the reptile aliens.
Yeah.
Although, of course, there's a bleeding heart element who doesn't want them killed. They'll just go into, you know, a torpor. They'll go into hibernation. Yeah. So. Yeah.
And, you know, PETA won't want you making any changes to affect the lizard people in one way or another, you know?
I actually don't know how PETA plays into it.
We should ask. We should reach out to PETA on Twitter.
I thought you were talking about asking these lunatics. Is it like it's best not to stick your head in that snake pit?
No, I'm asking this to reach out to PETA. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. PETA is a single snake, not a snake pit. I am getting work emails that I do have to reply to, so we are going to have to.
Yeah. So that's
sometime soon.
We can wrap it up right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, alien abduction, your thought is hilarious either way. It doesn't matter.
I'd like it to be true, but yes, yeah. It's funny either way, mm-hmm. So I don't mind if it's true or not. I would like aliens to be real. Yes, I want to believe. I would describe myself as an optimist. I couldn't say it without laughing.
Saying you're an optimist? Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe aliens. There must be alien life. I didn't believe it would be anywhere near us, given the limitations of physics. But I also understand less about physics than what I've read on the internet. So who knows? Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think you've got me convinced that it could be happening, and it is funny either way.
It's so I'm in. Good.
In. All right. This has been the Heads Up Podcast with Jeff and Sean. I'm Jeff.
I'm Sean. I think, do I usually do the end part? Were you waiting for me to do it?
Yeah, I was. And
right. I forgot.
And you can share your own stories about alien abduction, Melissa McCarthy.
No.
Or European eels at our Instagram and Twitter, which are both Heads Up Pod.
I guess I won't ever check those, so do whatever you want.
Yeah, you can if you want to write us at headsuppod@gmail.com. That too.
Don't say us, because I won't read it.
I would read it to you if we ever get an email.
Okay. Great.
headsup.threadless.com if you do want merch. You know, why would you? Sean, do you have anything to add?
Live long and prosper, I guess. this is the part where I just say this is the Ben the Heads Up Podcast and we're popping off.
Toodles.
You know what? The American West would have been much better if cowboys rode elephants. And you could put that on the record.